Hi, good morning, everybody. This morning, for your excitement, for your entertainment even, I'm going to tell you a story. And it's a thrilling story, a dramatic story, a story that'll tear at your heartstrings, a story that'll involve the rivalry between two women. A story that could have come straight from the pen of Barbara Cartland. A story of a plain country girl and a beautiful sister and their bitter fight for the love of a handsome stranger. Wow. I'm just going to read from Genesis chapter 29 and that will set us scene. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord heard that I was not loved, he gave me this one too." So she named him Simeon. Again she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons." So he was named Levi. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. Now I'm sure that we're all familiar with the basic story of how Jacob fled from his brother Esau and went to live with his uncle Laban. He met and he fell in love with Laban's younger daughter, Rachel. And when he asked to be allowed to marry her, Laban made him work for 7 years before he could marry Rachel. After the 7 years, the marriage went ahead, but the next morning Jacob found Rachel's sister Leah in his bed and realized that he'd been deceived. And he had to work another 7 years for Laban before he could marry Rachel. And when we read the account, we often get caught up in the overall picture of Jacob the deceiver finally meeting his match with Laban. And we can miss the fine details. But this morning, let us look at the two women in the episode. And as we do, we'll find those details emerging. So let's start with Leah, the older sister. Now Leah may well have been Jacob's first wife, but she was not his choice and not part of his plans. Her father Laban had taken advantage of her and insisted that Jacob take her as his wife. But Jacob was in love with Rachel, the younger sister. Leah was plain and she possibly had a squint or was cross-eyed. But Rachel was beautiful. Every man wanted Rachel. She turned heads wherever she went. But no man gave Leah a second look, unless it was in pity. And Jacob served 7 long years for Rachel, and on his wedding night he went into his dark unlit tent. And then we read in Genesis 29 verse 25, "When morning came, there was Leah." Now most people will ask, but how did this make Jacob feel? After all, he'd been cruelly deceived. But we may feel that he got his just desserts. After all, Jacob, whose name means supplanter or deceiver, was aptly named, for he was a con man, a trickster, who'd stolen his own birthright from his own brother. But I want to ask a far more important question. How did this make Leah feel? Here was an unloved woman, a woman that maybe was unloved by everyone. Jacob certainly didn't love her. She was plain, and Jacob never pretended to notice Leah. Even her name seemed a bitter reminder of her situation, for Leah means gazelle, and Leah was certainly not like that graceful creature. All her life, Leah carried the mockery of her name as a constant reminder of what she was not. Her father, Laban, tells Jacob, "It's not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give you the younger one also, in return for another 7 years of work. And so from this we can assume that Laban had been trying to marry off Leah for years, but no one would take her. So he got rid of her this way. And then we see that Leah was also unloved by her father, for no caring and loving father would have treated his daughter like that. Leah was manipulated by her father just as surely as Jacob was. And I wonder if any of us can relate with Leah. There are those who cannot call God father because of an unhappy relationship with their own father. They felt unloved as long as they can remember because they've not known the unconditional love of a father. There are those who've had an unhappy relationship with a sister or a brother, who've been badly hurt by a man or a woman who has rejected them. And as we unfold this story, we'll see that God cares for every one of us, and especially the hurt and the rejected ones. Because we're all different, we often find it difficult to find someone else who's the same weaknesses, who's shared the same problems. But God does understand, and he does care. He cares so much that he sent his son into the world, one who was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. And we could talk to Jesus because he knows just how we feel. As he hung upon the cross, he knew physical pain beyond anything you and I can imagine. But he also knew the agonizing moment when, without notice, his unbroken, intimate relationship with his father came to an end. And it caused him to cry out from an anguished, broken heart, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He knew what it was to be deserted and to feel rejected. And he can empathize with you in your situation. So let's look at Leah a little bit closer. As we saw, Jacob was mortified when he realized he'd been deceived and that Leah had been dumped on him. He could never have imagined this happening. Maybe Laban was hoping that Jacob would come to love Leah. Maybe Leah was hoping against hope that Jacob would really love her, but instead he was furious with Laban. So how do you think that made Leah feel? It was an ordeal for her. She knew that Jacob didn't want her, but she had to do what her father ordered. She just hoped that maybe, just maybe, Jacob would come to love her. However, although Leah didn't know it yet, there was one who did love her. In Genesis 29, verse 31, we're told, "When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and she named him Reuben, for she said, 'It's because the Lord has seen my misery, surely my husband will love me now.'" And the name Reuben literally means "see a son." And that, of course, is the dead giveaway. She had hoped that despite all that her father had made her do, Jacob would love her, even though there was no mutual attraction and she was plain. She was hoping that Jacob would start to love her, and the way to make that happen was to give him a son. Her complaint was that her husband didn't love her, and for all we know, it was also that she was not beautiful. Perhaps she was angry with God about that. But such complaints don't bother God, and he understands how we feel, and he knows that we have to give vent to our feelings. And the proof is there in verse 31. "When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." The Lord, the God of the Bible, loves justice. And if you're being treated unfairly, God knows about it. In the fullness of time, he will compensate. Did the Lord know how Leah was feeling? Of course he did. And so he ensured that she bore a son to Jacob. However, Rachel was barren. The one who was rejected and unloved was rewarded, but the one that Jacob loved was barren. And I'm sure that Leah saw divine compensation in this situation. Leah, the unloved one, got what mattered. Nothing could stop Jacob being the father of many sons, because this was foreordained in the covenant with Abraham and Isaac. In God's justice, Leah, the unloved one, was bringing the covenant to pass, while Rachel, the beautiful and beloved one, was barren. The one who was less than nothing in the eyes of the world, the one who no doubt had a very low opinion of herself, the one who no doubt had been told all her life that she'd never amount to anything, was being used of God to be part of his plan. And there really is a lesson there for every one of us. God does not see us as the world sees us, or as we see ourselves. He's planned from the beginning of time the purpose for each one of us. We don't know in advance what he has for us, and so we just have to wait for him to use us as we're available to him. Eventually, Leah came to terms with her situation. She kept thinking, if I have one more son, perhaps Jacob will love me. But it didn't happen. But then, with her fourth son, she changed. She named him Judah, which means, may God be praised. She was saying, now I will praise the Lord. Until then, she was hoping her husband would love her. Now she knows that the Lord loves her. Leah had even more competition, though she didn't have to see it, live to see it. From her third son, Levi came to the... From her third son Levi came the priesthood, and through her fourth son Judah came Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jacob never loved Leah, but God did. And through her, God carried out his plan for the future of the whole world. But what about Rachel? After all, this is an account of two women. If Leah was the unloved woman, Rachel was the one who had everything. And it's so easy for any of us to look at those who appear to have everything and be envious. But should we feel like that? Is their life all that we imagine it to be? Rachel did appear to have everything. She had a beautiful body. Genesis 29 verse 17 said, Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. And her name suited her, for Rachel means lamb, and certainly Rachel appeared to be more like that gentle creature. Rachel was also brave, because she was a shepherdess, and that work took a lot of courage and meant she had plenty of self-confidence. She had a sense of belonging. She was loved by Jacob, and it would appear that she was probably her father's favourite too. There is such a feeling of security and of confidence and of being at ease when you know that you are loved. And Rachel appeared to have everything. However, there was one thing that Rachel didn't have. She was barren. She had almost everything. And in comparison, Leah was a loser. She was plain and she was rejected. And I'm sure that a rivalry existed between these two sisters, but probably not on Rachel's part. If you were to ask Rachel if there was rivalry between her and her sister, she'd probably laugh at you. Those who have everything often fail to see how others feel. Rachel couldn't imagine that there was a problem. And that's often the case, because when you have everything you could possibly need, what is there to be jealous about? On the other hand, I'm sure that Leah was jealous of her sister. Jealous of the affection shown by her father to Rachel. Jealous of Rachel's good looks. Jealous of Rachel's self-confidence and easy manner. Often, when we feel like that, we get inward looking and we have no confidence. Our personality is non-existent and we have difficulty mixing with people. And these two sisters were the total opposite of each other, and no doubt it caused resentment in Leah. But God knew the situation and he looked upon Leah with favour. He saw that Leah was not loved, and so he gave her children. And I believe that now we see the beginning of jealousy in Rachel. Rachel had the love of her husband, But she wanted more. She wanted a child. And she wanted that more than beauty, more than acceptance, more than anything in the world. She wanted to be a mother more than she wanted to be, more than she wanted her husband's affection. See how desperate she was for a child. In Genesis 30, we're told, she said, "Here is Bilhah, my maidservant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and that through her I can build a family." So she gave him to her servant Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. So desperate was Rachel, she was even prepared for another woman to carry the child that she couldn't. Whenever we envy someone who appears to have everything, we might find that if we knew everything about them, we wouldn't want to swap places for anything. See how our values and priorities have changed. At one time, you couldn't have told Rachel the day would come when bearing children would be more important to her than the love of her husband. But see how the tables have turned. Now Rachel is jealous of her sister Leah. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. No matter who you are, no matter what your situation, there's nothing that's impossible for God. He can, and very often, will intervene. And then that which was so special and so important will seem to be nothing compared with what God has now done. The story graphically illustrates what Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 30. "But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Leah was the one who had babies, though she didn't have the beauty. But what Leah had was more important to the kingdom of God than what Rachel had, because Leah bore four babies and they would go on to have two more. And as we've already seen, Leah's son Levi gave the people of Israel the tribe of Levi, and her son Judah gave the world a saviour. It's also true that eventually God did favour Rachel, and she did bear two sons for Jacob. But she had to wait at least 14 years for her marriage, and 21 years after Leah's marriage. Even at the same time as Rachel bore children to Jacob, God allowed Leah to have two more sons. Does this prompt the question in our minds, but what am I doing that will survive? Surely it's better to be the last now and in the future to be the first. It could well be only a matter of time before those we now envy will be jealous of us. As it turned out, even Rachel and Jacob began to quarrel. This perfect couple who had the perfect marriage found that their perfect life was beginning to unravel. For Rachel went to Jacob and said, "Give me a child or I'll die." And Jacob became angry and said to her, "Am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children?" Rachel had love. Leah had life. Rachel had looks. Leah had the legacy. God was dealing with Rachel. She appears to have everything, but what she didn't have eventually broke her. And there are many like her who have the brains, the beauty, and the self-confidence, but they are really lost. And maybe God is trying to bring them to the place where they recognize their need of him, to recognize that having all that the world can offer is nothing if we don't have a deep relationship with God. There are many who we both individually and as a church might envy. But let's not forget what we do have in our jealousy for what we don't have. How easy it is for us to get complacent and forget what a privilege we have. We have the love and the assurance of God. We have his promise that he will never leave nor forsake us. We may not be the biggest or the most beautiful church around, but we are loved. And we are loved by the Lord himself. What is there that can compare with that? What is there to be envious of? I hope that each of us can go away from this place this morning as Leah, the beloved of God, being confident that you are one who, despite all outward appearances, have found favour with God, and you are one who is vital in God's plan for the world. Fulton John Sheen, a Catholic Archbishop of Rochester, New York, once said, "God does not love us because we're valuable. We are valuable because God loves us. Don't be proud because it's nothing of our doing, but be content that we are the beloved of God. We have been chosen by him to fulfill his purpose." Amen.